Welcome to the future you. Frank Lloyd Wright once said, "Study nature, love nature, stay close to nature, and it will never fail you." At Zija, we love nature. We study nature. In India, we discovered Moringa and created Moringa Supermix, a revolutionary new combination of organic ingredients, including natural vitamins, minerals, proteins, antioxidants, and omega oils. Zija's new Moringa Supermix will help you make a change for the better. Simply click on the Zija banner on the UKHealthRadio.com homepage. Power people need power vitality.
You're listening to UK Health Radio. Welcome to the Therapy Suite. I'm Duncan Ellison, a therapeutic counsellor with a focus on positive mental health. This week in the headlines, being called snowflake is offensive and could damage your mental health, a report suggests. And the government has published plans to help more people with mental health to find work. It's an animal-themed show this week, as we learn more about how they can help in a therapeutic environment. Classical conditioning on the way in the Toolbox Talk, wise words and music from the Beach Boys. So if good mental health matters to you, then this show is not to be missed. Join me, Duncan Ellison, as we open the doors to the Therapy Suite, only on UK Health Radio. Let's start with the mental health news making the headlines this week. Being called snowflake is damaging to mental health, young people say. Figures show that the majority of young people think the term is unfair, and even more think it could have a negative effect of its own. The snowflake generation is a disparaging term now commonly used to refer to young people who are perceived to be oversensitive and intolerant of disagreement. But research by insurance firm Aviva found that 72% of 16 to 24-year-olds think the term is unfairly applied, while 74% think it could have negative effects on young people's mental health. The figures also show that young people are more likely to have experienced stress, anxiety, and depression in the last year. The government has published plans which it says will help more people with mental health problems to find and stay in work. Every year, 300,000 people with mental health problems fall out of work, and for many, this is the first step in a spiral of problems with benefits, debt, and worsening mental health. The mental health charity Mind has responded to the plans, saying, "We want to see the government do more to offer people with mental health problems voluntary support, but it has missed an opportunity to change fundamental parts of the welfare system that currently simply do not work. It is clear that they have failed to listen to thousands of people with mental health problems who told them that sanctioning and conditionality have no place in helping people to find work." The UK mental health charity goes on to say, "Unless the government rethinks these proposals and takes real action, too many people with mental health problems will continue to experience going to an appointment at a job centre as a source of fear and anxiety rather than the first step in finding proper support." Also in the news, a groundbreaking study suggests that a simple 15-minute electrocardiogram could help determine whether a person has major depression or bipolar disorder. But while the symptoms of the depressive phase of bipolar disorder are similar to that of major depression, the treatments are different and often challenging. A spokesman for the study said this week, "Having a non-invasive, easy-to-use and affordable test to differentiate between major depression and bipolar disorder would be a major breakthrough in both psychiatric and primary care practices." Major depression is among the most common and severe health problems in the world. It's estimated at least 8 to 10% of the population suffers from major depression at any given time. While less common than major depression, bipolar disorder is a significant mental health problem, affecting an estimated 50 million people worldwide. Finally in the news, a new 24/7 mental health service has been launched this week to help people within the music industry. Launched earlier this month in the wake of the tragic passing of Chester Bennington, the frontman of Linkin Park, the new service will offer advice, signposting, emotional support, clinical pathways and professional therapeutic services, counselling and cognitive behavioural therapy to musicians and people within the music industry suffering with mental health issues. Looking back at the news stories this week, how would you feel if I called you snowflake? Until this week, it was a term that I hadn't associated with mental health implications. This is a new term to describe young people who are perceived to be oversensitive. Almost half of adults between 16 and 24 said they had experienced stress or anxiety, compared to just over a third of all UK adults. Young adults were also more likely to be uncomfortable talking about mental health problems, with one in three saying this, compared to 27% of all adults. 13% also said they were experiencing problems but had not sought help, compared to 7% of all adults in the UK. Here are some interesting figures. 33% of young adults said they were uncomfortable discussing mental health issues. 15% said they were currently experiencing mental health problems but did not feel the treatment they were getting was suited to them. 45% have experienced stress in the last year, and 46% had experienced anxiety. Interesting figures and thoughts there from the young people here in the UK. How do you feel about those numbers? So we heard in the news this week that the government are making proposals to help people with mental health issues gain and sustain good work prospects. That has to be a good thing, don't you think? The UK mental health charity Mind responded with this statement. We agree that the sick pay system makes it difficult for someone with mental health problems to take gradual steps to return to work, and we welcome the commitment to reform. We want to see a system that is focused on the needs of the individual and offers greater flexibility to help people return to work. We would be concerned if any proposals led to people facing pressure to return to work too early or too quickly to use up their entitlement in a way which might risk their financial security in the future. They go on to say, we are pleased that this week the NHS has restated its commitments around mental health. The delivery of the five-year forward view for mental health is essential to bringing mental health services up to a basic standard, to start building the support we have lacked for many, many decades. We know that the NHS has to make difficult decisions at the moment. It is the right choice to invest in mental health, because the sooner people who are struggling get the help they need, the more likely it is they will avoid needing more intensive and expensive support further down the lines. If you've been suffering from a mental health issue that stopped you working recently, why don't you share your comments here on the programme? You can contact me through Twitter at Duncan_Ellison. Now this is interesting and perhaps quite radical. In bipolar disorder, formerly called manic depression, a patient swings between an emotional high, which is known as a manic episode, and severe depression. Treatment for the depressed phase includes antidepressants, along with a safeguard such as a mood stabiliser or antipsychotic drug to prevent a switch to manic episodes. A physician who misdiagnoses bipolar disorder as a major depression could inadvertently trigger a manic episode by prescribing an antidepressant without a safeguarding mood stabilising drug. So now, with a simple step, a study has found that heart rate variability, as measured by an electrocardiogram, indicates whether subjects actually do have major depression or bipolar disorder. It's estimated that 50 million people worldwide suffer with bipolar. Do you think this is comforting to know you're not alone? Or is this an alarming figure? Let me know your thoughts. We also heard in the news today that a new service has been launched specifically for people in the music industry, following the death of Chester Bennington, the lead singer of Linkin Park. Nadine Shah of Music Minds Matters commented this week on the launch of the new mental health service. I would like to give my passionate, wholehearted support to Help Musicians UK and the new Music Minds Matters mental health service. The music industry is in such need of a service like this. It's about time we had a service that is always there for people, one that really caters to the myriad of mental health challenges and complexities that musicians and people in the music industry face. As someone that has experienced struggles of my own, I know how important it is to know that I could access help and support when I need it. It means so much. Thank you to HM UK. In a study called Can Music Make You Sick, which was conducted last year, over 2,000 musicians and music professionals who took part, 71% said they had experienced panic attacks and high levels of anxiety, while 68.5% reported they had experienced depression. HM UK CEO Richard Robinson said, Help Musicians UK is a uniquely positioned charity to coordinate, lead and support those working in music with mental health challenges. We understand the complexity of being a musician and recognise the need for support that reflects the nature of the business, whilst providing a personalised service tailored to each person we help. Richard Robinson, CEO of HMUK, continues, Music Minds Matters is the first for the British music industry and the biggest ever undertaking by HMUK. We're earmarking just under £1 million over the next 4 years, and we fully expect the service to grow and evolve. However, this can only happen in close consultation and collaboration with the music industry and those organisations already providing mental health support. This is why a fully engaged music industry mental health task force is also a prerequisite and a catalyst for a real change and understanding. He added, it's also important to underline that early intervention is a key to this service. This is not just for individuals in crisis. It is so much more and provides comprehensive support on a range of issues. In time, we will look to add additional regional capabilities and services, as well as global partnerships, to really make a difference to those that need it most and future-proof our music industry to be as healthy and successful as it can be. If you want to find out more about that initiative, take a look for yourself, www.musicmindsmatter.org.uk. Music Minds with an S, matter.org.uk. A few weeks ago, we discussed the different therapies available for people suffering with PTSD. We also explored the different characteristics it can bring on. I was going to use this clip in that program, but it leads nicely into this week's theme. This is an initiative in the US which rehabilitates servicemen and women who are living with the mental scars of war. Not only is this clip moving, it proves the attachment between humans and animals. Here's a clip of veterans working with horses as a therapeutic tool.
We work. We go work. Huh? Let's go work. Let's go to work.
Just to be able to work with horses, it's a life changer. Truly, it's a life changer. Because you can't bring any BS into with them. They can see right through you. Are you going to hurt me? Are you going to eat me? It's the two things that you're scared of. You have to go in there open-hearted. You have to go in calm. You can't bully them. They're much bigger than you. You can't force them to do anything. You have to ask them to do it. And your communication has to be exactly clear and concise to them. Unless you do that in that complete order and stay calm, then they won't work with you. No one goes to war and comes back unscathed. I was in special operations in Iraq and Afghanistan for the majority of the war. There was no coping. You come home, prep, repack, and get ready to go out the door again.
Bobby,
yes.
Is it okay to sometimes let your kids have a little more control?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can they lead you sometimes?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people think that equine therapy is actually about therapeutic horseback riding. That's one component. But really, equine therapy is any kind of therapy that's working with horses, whether it's animal interaction and involvement or the physical benefits of therapeutic horseback riding.
Let's see if you can do it without pushing on him. Use your hat again. There you go. That's it. You got it. He just heard you. He's looking for direction.
I've served in Kosovo and Afghanistan. Bobby and I, we've known each other for about 8 years. I am definitely in a recovery process. Every day, it's hard. That's what I have to work on every single day. So by coming out here, helping others, I learned a lot about myself. In fact, I had to shut it down a couple times because I get really emotional because I find something out about myself. So I'm like, ooh. I have to hold back, you know, so.
Man, you tied that knot right in my hair.
All right, there you go. I need to take a right face.
On the other side?
No, you're fine. Left face. Walk towards my horse.
When I first met Bobby and Ryan, not only were they not comfortable with the horses, most importantly, they weren't comfortable with themselves or anybody else. So they've been on this healing path for a while, and the changes in them are nothing short of heartwarming. So it's not just that they're more comfortable with themselves and with others. They're comfortable in their ability to help others heal. When you gave him, right, when you gave him all that, all your weight, he just took a big breath out. All right.
What I find magical about horses is how they mirror you, how you're feeling. You might not know that you're feeling that way, but you go in there with the horses and they'll let you know. And then it reminds you to say, settle down, breathe, get grounded, and everything's gonna be okay.
I've had a lot of warriors come in here and say, this is my last chance. We don't believe that. You know, I'm a firm believer that our lives are a sine wave. There's ups and downs through all of our lives. Unfortunately, 13 years of combat has put some people in some really, really low places. We would love to be the first place that people come to. Unfortunately, you can't always get to them. So as long as they get here, whether it's first or last, I'm happy because I'm confident this experience is going to change their lives.
The nation as its whole, they're responsible for getting these guys back from combat and back from war and getting them back into society. Not to be cast away and not to be broken. These guys can be healed. I can be healed, and I am healed.
This week, I want to explore the positivity animals can bring to a therapeutic environment. Pets are also a great motivator for people. We know that. Dogs especially are great at encouraging owners to exercise, and this can be beneficial for those suffering from depression. Pets can also have calming effects on their owners. Just by stroking, sitting next to, or playing with a pet gives owning a chance to relax and calm your mind. Caring for a pet also gives your day purpose and reward and a sense of achievement. It also helps you feel valued and needed. Does that sound familiar? Walking a dog often leads to conversations with other dog owners, and this helps owners stay socially connected and less withdrawn. People who have more social relationships and friendships tend to be mentally healthier. It is true, and a bit on the strange side, that people who are walking their dogs will engage with other dog walkers in the street. Obviously, this is good for the dogs themselves. But I find I chat to people I don't know just because they have a dog. A dog attracts people. If only I'd known this 20 years ago. Forget dating sites. Having a dog is the key to attracting a like-minded partner. Dogs in particular can reduce stress, anxiety and depression. They ease loneliness, encourage exercise and playfulness, and even improve your cardiovascular health. Caring for a dog can also help children grow up more secure and active, or simply provide valuable companionship for older adults. Perhaps most importantly, though, a dog can add real joy and unconditional love to your life. And that has to have a positive effect on your mental well-being. What do you think? People in later life experiencing typical life stresses can be comforted by a companion pet. It is thought that a dog can be a stress buffer that softens the effects of adverse events on a person. With an animal in the home, people with Alzheimer's are also thought to have fewer anxious outbursts. Children with ADHD can benefit from working with and keeping a pet. Taking charge of the jobs on a pet care schedule, such as feeding, walking and bathing, helps a child to learn and plan to be responsible. Pets need play, as we know, and playing with a pet is often a great way to release excess energy. Your child can burn off energy walking a dog or running around with a kitten, making them more relaxed later on in the day and calmer at night. Fresh air and good circulation from an aerobic exercise increases oxygen-filled blood flow to the child's brain, therefore increasing their ability to concentrate. Children with ADHD are used to their parents trying to calm them down, and a pet is a great listener, offering unconditional love, and they won't criticise a child for having too much energy. A study in association with the Cats Protection in 2011, which involved over 600 cat and non-cat-owning respondents, with half of them describing themselves as currently having mental health problems. The survey found that 87% of people who owned a cat felt it had a positive impact on their well-being, whilst 76% said they could cope with everyday life much better thanks to the company of their feline friends. In another study, Half of the cat owners felt that their cat's presence and companionship was most helpful, followed by a third of respondents who were describing stroking a cat as a calming and helpful activity. Just to prove a point, I brought my cat Whiskers and my dog Patch into the UK Health Radio studio today. And I have to say, I think they're more chilled out than I am. Whiskers, he's just purring away. It's kind of what he does. That's his style. And Patch, he's just rolled up on the sofa, chilling out. And I have to say, just looking over at the both of them, it's definitely a calming influence. And I have to say, what a good thing bringing your pets to work is. We're going to talk more about that in a few moments. Apparently, dog owners are less likely to suffer from depression than those without pets. I think that stands to reason. People with dogs have lower blood pressure in stressful situations than those without pets. One study even found that when people with borderline hypertension adopted dogs from a shelter, their blood pressure declined significantly within 5 months. Playing with a dog or cat can elevate levels of serotonin and dopamine, which calm and relax. Pet owners have lower, now let's try and get this right first time, triglyceride and cholesterol levels, they're the indicators of heart disease, than those without pets. Looking at some more stats, pet owners over the age of 65 make 30% fewer visits to their doctors than those without a pet. One of the reasons for these therapeutic effects is that dogs in particular fulfill the basic human need to touch. Even hardened criminals in prison have shown long-term changes in their behaviour after interacting with dogs, many of them experiencing mutual affection for the first time. Stroking, hugging, or otherwise touching a loving animal can rapidly calm and soothe us when we're stressed or anxious. The companionship of a pet can also ease loneliness, and most dogs are a great stimulus for healthy exercise, which can substantially boost your mood and ease depression. Caring for a dog can help you make healthy lifestyle changes by increasing exercise. Taking a dog for a walk, hike, or run are fun and rewarding ways to fit healthy daily exercise into your schedule. Studies have shown that dog owners are far more likely to meet their daily exercise requirements. It will deepen the connection between you and eradicate most behaviour problems in the dog, whilst keeping your pet fit and healthy. Companionship can help prevent illness and even add years to your life, while isolation and loneliness can trigger symptoms of depression. Caring for an animal can help you make you feel needed and wanted and take the focus away from your problems, especially if you live alone. Most dog and cat owners talk to their pets and even use them to work through their troubles. And nothing beats loneliness like coming home to a wagging tail and wet kisses. As we've also mentioned, dogs help you meet new people. Dogs can be a great social lubricant for their owners. Social lubricant, what a great phrase that is. Helping you start and maintain new friendships. The companionship of a dog can offer comfort, help ease anxiety, and build self-confidence for people anxious about going out into the world. Because dogs live in the moment, they don't worry about what happened yesterday or what might happen tomorrow, and they can help you become more mindful and appreciate the joy of the present. They certainly add structure and routine to your day. Dogs require a regular feeding and exercise schedule, and having consistent routine keeps a dog balanced and calm. And it can work for you too. No matter what your mood, depressed, anxious, or stressed, one plaintive look from your dog and you have to get out of bed to feed, exercise, and care for them. They also provide sensory stress relief. Touch and movement are two healthy ways to quickly manage stress. Stroking a dog lowers blood pressure and can help you quickly feel calmer and less stressed.
Stay together. Wouldn't it be nice? it seems the more we talk about it, it only makes it worse to live without it. But let's talk about it. Wouldn't it be
wise words on the way and music from the Pet Shop Boys still to come. In this week's Toolbox Talk, I'll be introducing you to classical conditioning. Therapy is very subjective, as we've discussed before. When I see a client, I get the feeling or the vibe for what will work and what will not. And that'll be a continuous assessment within the client-counsellor relationship. What I do know is there's a fella who's set up an organisation called Sled Dogs as Therapy UK. And it's a radical therapy in every sense. And it's pretty cool too.
My name's Shane Kennedy, and I have an organisation called Sled Dogs as Therapy UK. I have two Alaskan Malamutes, two sled dogs, and we use them as therapy in education, in schools, and also with Help for Heroes, working with recovering service personnel. The whole idea behind therapy is really trying to advance a little bit further the relationship between dog and mankind. They don't really judge you. They don't have any ulterior motive. And they don't care what you look like. They don't care if you're rich or poor. So when the dog is looking at you, it's very honest. Sled dogs especially have a very unique effect on people. If I'm sitting down with somebody, and they are trying to tell me something very difficult, they've never told anyone before, then the dog just makes the whole experience easier. They can be looking at the dog, they can even be stroking the dog, getting that attachment, that touching. I can't do that. I can't take their hand, I can't put my arm around them, even if I wanted to. A dog can, which is very reassuring. I mean, there was one group I worked with, and the children, I was told, some of them are learning difficulties, don't speak the language very well, and they just had a blast. They're always absolutely focused, and they learn so much. Because like I said, the dogs don't care. They just love children, they love people. After I leave, they may get the children to write a thank you or draw a picture, and they always send it on. And that's worth more than money to me. It's like a little thank you note. Kitty's drawing a little picture of the dogs and me. I get a lot out of that. People ask, how can we help? And well, apart from coming to Hoover my carpet with all this dog fur, the one thing that obviously really helps us is getting the word out there about what we do. If at the very least, you know, go like us on social media. Give us a like, give us a share, spread the word. And then if you're really into what we're doing and you really think it's worthwhile, maybe consider joining, being part of Sled Dogs as Therapy UK.
That is real left-field therapy, don't you think? Out of all of the therapeutic routes featured on the programme so far, this is the one I'd most like to try. Check out the website for yourself, www.sleddogsastherapy.co.uk. There are many organisations in the UK providing therapy using animals. Many use the term pet-assisted therapy. One such organisation is the Pets as Therapy charity. The idea is that animals go, with their owners of course, on house visits to cheer up and relax people. It works really well for those who are unable to leave the house. And the benefits for children? Well, that's pretty obvious. Many children seem naturally comfortable in the presence of dogs. Although I have to say, I was never a big dog lover as a child. Perhaps I was the exception. Parents and teachers can use this special relationship to enhance literacy skills and encourage reading in a relaxed environment, with dog and child sitting together. This contact between dog and child encourages physical interaction, which helps put the child at ease. The dog acts as a non-judgmental listener and offers comfort to the child who may find reading difficult or even stressful. On average, over 6,000 children per week across the country benefit from this unique experience, and the results are outstanding. As a counsellor, I was taught the core conditions: empathy, unconditional positive regard, and congruence. Arguably, animals have two out of three of these as natural traits. They're always genuine and never judge you. Unconditional positive regard is something that a dog naturally expresses. It sees you as the light in their life, and they'll do anything to make you happy. To be honest, I find cats more complex. They will give you unconditional positive regard when they want to. It's on their terms. Nevertheless, cats are extensively used as therapy animals. Stroking a cat has been proven to reduce stress and reduce your heartbeat and blood pressure. So we've heard about animals visiting you at home, but how do you feel about animals visiting hospitals? According to the Royal College of Nursing, dogs and other animals should be allowed into hospitals to help patients recover. What do you think about that? The organisation is drawing up on guidelines for medical institutions on how to use animal therapy safely and effectively so all patients who might benefit are able to access it. Amanda Cheesley, who's leading the initiative, said the new protocol would require animals and their handlers to be properly trained and cover the basics such as health checkups and inoculation. More than 750 nurses who took part in a survey, 9 out of 10 said they believed animals could improve the well-being of patients with mental health problems such as depression, and 60% thought that the presence of animals could help speed up recovery. Animal therapy has been offered for 5 years at hospitals in Southampton, where qualified handler Lindsay Uglow and golden retriever Leo visit patients 3 days a week. Miss Uglow and Leo are often asked to work with a particular child and enter wards and intensive care with the permission of parents and consultants. She goes on to say, Leo has worked with young people who are terrified of needles. At operations, he's there until the child goes to sleep and is there when they wake up. It's more than just he's nice to stroke, said Miss Chesley. So we know the benefits of pets in a therapeutic environment, particularly with stress in mind. We know about pets in hospitals, but let's take this a stage further. No one would object to a guide dog being in the workplace to support a visually impaired employee. It would be socially and morally wrong to think otherwise. So what about using pets in the workplace to reduce stress at source? This year, June the 23rd, was Bring Your Dog to Work Day. The one day in the year where workers across the country can spend their 9-to-5 with their co-workers' canines. The annual nationwide event originally started in the UK in 1996 and record numbers of businesses took part this year. But aside from being an afternoon treat, research suggests that allowing pets into the workplace has plenty of benefits for employees and the office environment. Do you find yourself regularly needing a mental health breather at work? Playing with or petting an animal can increase levels of the stress-reducing hormone oxytocin and decrease production of the stress hormone cortisol. A study in the International Journal of Workplace Health Management found that access to dogs was a calming influence and reduced stress levels whether people had access to their own pets or others. We know that pets have a calming influence, have a positive impact in the workplace and improve employee productivity. The problem is you could be a dog person and enjoy the atmosphere, or you may be wary of dogs, in which case there will be no evidence of positive production. Now, aside from Whiskers and Patch, I have two snakes. I'd be more than happy to have them on my desk, but others I don't think would share my enthusiasm. So we've seen the mental health benefits of animals at home. We know some of the animals are perfect therapy animals in hospitals, and we enjoy the thought of taking our pet to work. There's another environment where the benefits of animals, and in this case dogs, have proven to be essential tools. And that's in the classroom. In Switzerland, dogs are being used as companions in schools. And this has resulted in a marked drop in child depression, anxiety and stress. Have a listen to this.
Tabo is the star of this primary school. When he's here, all the children want to pet him.
When Tabo is here, the children are more careful. They make sure they don't step on him, and this way they also become more careful with each other. The dog goes to the door when it gets too loud, as if to show he doesn't want to be in the room anymore. Then the children make each other aware of this and become quieter.
For children who don't have pets at home, it's wonderful to be able to play with a dog during the break.
Now I would like you to touch Thabo with a blindfold on. Children with behavioral problems have a different social role. They're outsiders. Thabo is totally unbiased towards them. He doesn't judge them, doesn't hold a grudge. For one moment, he lets them feel like they're the best. It's very important for them.
It's known that just by stroking an animal, our brain produces oxytocin, a stress-reducing hormone. In her studies into the relationship between humans and animals, Andrea Bates has closely observed 80 school children. They all had to do a presentation before the class. One group did it with the help of a dog they knew well. Another group could use a friend as psychological support. And a third group just got to hold a stuffed animal. Before, during, and after the presentation, children were asked to give a sample of their saliva to measure their stress levels. The group with a real dog was considerably less stressed.
When you look at the group with the dog, you see that the stress level hardly rises and even lowers significantly toward the end.
The longer the children stroked the dog before the test, the less stressed they were.
Of course, teachers can just use the dog as a reward. But what's even better is it can help children who are particularly anxious and afraid of tests. They should be allowed to stroke the dog before or during the test.
So how do you feel about animals being used as calming tools in a school environment? If you want to learn more about therapy pets, log on to www.petsastherapy.org. If you'd like to know more about taking your dog to work, log on to www.bringyourdogtoworkday.co.uk, which next year is Friday the 22nd of June. Make a note in your diary. Still to come on the Therapy Suite, can you make the connection between the two songs on this week's show and this week's theme? The Toolbox Talk and Wise Words to follow.
find a place where there's so much space. And the pace back east, rustling just to feet, ready to be tuned. We are gonna do
noticed that more often than not, there is a connection between the songs I play and the topics we discuss on the Therapy Suite. This week I played God Only Knows by the Beach Boys and Go West by a very famous UK band. But how do they connect? Here's how. God Only Knows was the first track on the hugely successful Beach Boys album Pet Sounds. This connects with Go West by, yep, you guessed it, the Pet Shop Boys. And of course, this week's pet therapy theme. Tenuous, you might say, but a little bit of fun on my part. Before we move on, if you have a mental health story to tell, whether it's your journey or someone close to you, or if you run a mental health project, do get in touch either on Twitter at Duncan_Ellison or email me duncan@thinkduncan.com. I'd really like to hear from you. This is the Therapy Suite on UK Health Radio. My name's Duncan. And I'll be with you each week to put a new twist on mental health. If you like this show and fancy a bit more, you can listen to all the different programmes UK Health Radio has to offer. You can choose the live play schedule or download your favourite programme on demand, wherever and whenever you need to. Incidentally, the new edition of the Health Triangle, UK Health Radio's very own magazine, is also available to look at. www.ukhealthradio.com. Click on the link on the right-hand side of the homepage and enjoy. This week on the Toolbox Talk, I'd like to introduce you to a man called Ivan Pavlov and his counselling theory of classical conditioning. Whilst there is no connection to pet therapies, there is a link, as he observed animal behaviours in his social experiments. Pavlov was nominated 4 years in a row for a Nobel Prize in psychology and medicine. He investigated the gastric function of dogs and later children by collecting and analysing saliva and the response it had on food in different conditions. Pavlov noticed that after a period of time, the dogs would salivate at the sight of the technician who usually fed the animals before the food was actually served. And this is important. Putting these observations into a controlled experiment, Pavlov presented a metronome as a stimulus before giving the dogs food. After a few repetitions, the dogs began to salivate at the sight of the stimulus, in this case the metronome, concluding if a particular stimulus was present around the dogs, the stimulus would still, by association, cause the dogs to salivate. So how does this relate to successful therapy? Aversion therapy is a type of behavioural therapy designed to help clients remove themselves from undesirable habits. This is achieved by using an unpleasant stimulus. For example, nasty smells could be used to associate the taste of cigarettes. Another form of behavioural therapy is systematic desensitisation. And this sounds quite dark, but believe me, it's not. Whereby a client with phobias is conditioned to relax whilst being exposed to progressively more anxiety-provoking stimuli. Remember how the dog could be trained to salivate just by seeing the lab tech who fed it? This is no different. The human brain is being conditioned all the time, particularly in marketing, so that when you see or hear an advert for your favourite food, you can immediately feel hungry. It stands to reason that if you can be conditioned to like something without actually tasting it, the success rate of conditioning the brain to dislike something, whether cigarettes, alcohol or bad habits, will likely be quite high. That's almost it for this week. I do hope you've enjoyed the show. Next week, I'll be looking into how to cope at Christmas with a mental illness. If you'd like to comment or have anything interesting you think I should feature, then message me on Twitter, Duncan_Ellison, or email Duncan@thinkduncan.com, and I look forward to hearing from you. Wise words to muse on this week, and I've kept with a dog theme. See what you think to this. It's not the size of the dog in the fight which is important. It's the size of the fight in the dog. Don't forget, if you have any mental health concerns or have been affected by anything raised on today's programme, please consult your GP or find a counselling service to talk to. You've been listening to The Therapy Suite with me, Duncan Ellison, only on UK Health Radio. Stay well and keep smiling. See you again.